Good morning, Chair. Good morning,
good morning, Chair.
Can we start our meeting? I can see that we are creating, but it will be confirmed after our moment of silence, and we will be given an instruction whether we correct or not by the person who has substituted Lindiwe. Lindiwe is having a flu. She is down on flu, but we hope and wish a speedy recovery on that. Can we bow our heads where we are for a moment? Thank you very much, Honorable Members. The meeting is officially opened, and as I have already said, that Lindiwe is down on flu. So, she requested that someone is going to hold for him. Then we will hear who is that, and he will also introduce him or herself so that we can start our meeting officially. I know for a fact that I've heard that the DM is going to be part and parcel of our meeting, but let's hear who is in the meeting and who's not. Over to you, host.
Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning, Chair. Just to introduce myself, my name is Jerry Boltina. Officially, I am the Secretary of the Portfolio Committee on Tourism. And Chair has already indicated I've been asked by Lindy and the management of the section to come and assist in this meeting of this committee. So I'm here in that capacity, Chairperson. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Jerry Boltina. We are happy to be with you today, and we hope that we will continue our meeting as usual. And you will also be free to say whatever that you think needs to be followed in the meeting. Let's hear again who is in the meeting and also include the apologies on that. Jerry?
The apologies that I have in front of me up to now is that the Honorable Stock Chair is still on the flight, and the Honorable Van der Merwe will leave the meeting early, Chair, and the Honorable Stokers will not be able to join us due to prior commitments. Those are the three official apologies that are in front of us as of now, Chairperson. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Jerry. DM, you are welcome in the meeting. We heard that you requested to present first so that you can also join the other meetings. And we understand our minister is in the cabinet meeting. Definitely there are tight issues that may tend not to attend because she usually attends and then leaves. You are welcome, DM. Then can I get the person who represents? Okay. I hear DM is talking.
No, Chair, I was saying thank you very much for welcoming me.
Thanks, DM. Can I get someone who is given a responsibility to inform us who is in the meeting from the side of the officials?
Good morning, Chairperson, and good morning to the members and my colleagues. Yes, Chair, I have the following members present. You, Chairperson, Honorable Masango, Honorable Pilankulu, Honorable Harris, Honorable Van der Merwe, Honorable Peterson, Honorable Murray, Honorable Shongo, and Honorable Briet. Thank you, Chair. And I think we have a quorum, Chair, so the committee can take decisions if it has to. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Yuli. I think the apologies have been put forward from the side of the honorable members. Maybe we have to accept those apologies. Can I get a hand that accepts the apologies? And also, the apologies first. I see the hand of Honorable Briggs.
Recording in progress.
Yes, Chair, I just would like to accept the apologies as having been presented to us. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Masango. Any second to that? Accepting the apologies. Honorable Bridget has accepted them. Any second?
Seconded, Chair.
Honorable Langulu. Second, acceptance of the apologies is forwarded. Can I then request Jerry to flight the agenda? Thank you very much. Welcome remarks by Chairperson, introduction by MPs and support staff, apologies. Okay, apologies, we have managed to get them. But in terms of the welcome address, I don't want to waste time, honorable members, knowing exactly that we have to rush to the house today. Anyway, I just want to say it's still a loving month, or the month of love. So we still have to love one another as we used to do, and we did exactly that. So we are today on the day of the 29th. What is the day today? But is that day of the love? We need to love one another, and each on a separate plane, you must love your neighbor as you love yourself. So we are doing the same. The unfortunate part is that organizations, different ones, are doing or are celebrating or commemorating their manifestos, and also we do have some sort of bad news in other areas and in other organizations. We wish all those that could get those to have a speedy recovery, and also those that have passed away due to accidents and also sicknesses that are very, very dangerous to them. Let's pass our condolences, deep, deep, heartfelt condolences to them. Otherwise, we wish all organizations and everybody to have a success and very fruitful events during this time, especially during this month of the love. Thank you ever so much. The meeting has been opened officially. And I wish to say to honorable members, let us not waste time, but raise our hands and discuss everything. We mustn't leave no stone unturned, but we must try and make up the time. At least the latest by quarter past 12 o'clock, half past 12, the the meeting must be out so as to catch buses and rush for the parliament. Thank you ever so much. There's an agenda that has been flighted in front of us, which I know the other thing is to introduce the members of parliament, and the one that is have been done by Yuli. We are not going to waste time by saying, but whoever is speaking, we request them to flight the video, and then we allow him or her to close the video for the good reception. We understand that the network is not on our side at times. Then the adoption of the agenda needs to be done. Let's give over to honorable members to adopt the agenda as it has been flighted and proposed. Honorable Bridget?
Yes, Chair. I would like to adopt the agenda as has been presented to us. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Mapreti. Honorable Kate Wilangulu, any seconder to the adoption of the agenda?
Thank you, Chairperson. I do second the agenda.
Thank you very much, Honorable then, as I have already said, Honorable Members, that the department requested to be the one who will start to present, but we need to give the DM whatever that she would like to say to us, if there is need for it. But if there's no need, she will tell us that there's need. Over to you, DM.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chairperson, I will switch on and off the camera because of the network. I just wanted you to see me that it's me. I'm switching off now, camera.
Thank you. Okay, you are welcome. You are allowed.
Thank you very much, Chair. So let me start by greeting you and all members of the Portfolio Committee. And thank you very much for providing us with the opportunity to engage this very critical bill and older persons. Chair, from the department, I am accompanied by DDG Nana Mhlongo, Nonhlanhla Buthelezi, and Paul Masemula from Policy and Legal Services, respectively. They are going to take members through the presentation regarding the Department of Human Settlements position on two issues raised relating properties of older persons being transferred illegally without knowledge, and the proposal for amendment to the department's norms and standards for houses for older persons to have ramps. Chairperson, the two departments have long-standing relations. As such, the Department of Human Settlements participated in workshops hosted by the Department of Social Development regarding older persons' amendment bill. We also collaborated with the Department of Social Development to develop the special housing needs policy, which also covers older persons. The bill came at a time when we were busy engaging different stakeholders on the draft white paper for human settlements. One of the key proposals of the draft white paper is the focus on vulnerable groups, and this includes the elderly. Where there are gaps, there is still time to consider how we can close them in the draft white paper. So we're here today, Chair, not just to provide answers, but also gain insight we can use to strengthen our position. And without wasting any time, Chair, as you said that today we don't have time, I will hand over to the DDG Nana Mhlongo. We will come at the end of the presentation if there are any clarities and questions. Thank you very much, Chair. If you allow me, Chair, I will hand over now to DDG Mhlongo Thank you very much, Nana. And the chair.
Thank you very much, DM. Let's turn over to DM Song. Over to you, the committee.
Thank you, DM, good morning to yourself. Good morning, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members, and thank you very much for the opportunity. I request then to switch off my camera. I just wanted to show my face. Once again, to echo the words of the DM, we appreciate the opportunity to be part of this discussion. Because not only does it serve as a platform where persons need to provide responses, but also just to highlight some of the areas that we have already initiated in terms of strengthening the collaboration going forward. I am not sure if the presentation was shared, if it can be flighted. I have my colleague here, Ms. Mutelezi, and Mr. Masemola from our legal unit will be assisting with the presentation. Do we have the presentation? I don't know, maybe from Secretariat, or I can just go through and highlight the issues in the interest of time.
If I can just come in, Chair, we do have the presentation, but then I can maybe ask Upojeri to make someone from your department to be a co-host so that they can flag the presentation.
Okay. In the meantime, I think I will just highlight the key issues so that then we can have the discussion and to save time.
Sorry, I'm with Paulelo. Paulelo can do that. Paulelo Makas in the office. She can assist. Yes. Thank you. Can you?
Yes. I'll continue in the meantime, DM, while they are doing. Thank you very much.
Okay.
So in terms of then the purpose of this presentation is really to provide a response. I think we had received from the portfolio committee a request through the Office of the Minister on two issues that were raised during the public consultative process of the bill on older persons amendment bill. And as the DM has highlighted, as a department, we also participated in those. But also above, the DM also highlighted is really just to appraise the portfolio committee in terms of other policy and legislative programs that aligns to the issues that have been raised by the members of the public. I think then the first two slides just provides an overview in terms of the qualification criteria, which I will not really go in detail on, in terms of what we currently have. But also, we have, as the Deputy Minister has already highlighted, we have a white paper which we are reviewing in order to give effect to a new legislation that will focus on human settlement. So some of these concerns that have been raised will be taken into consideration going forward. I am now on slide number 5, and then I'm moving to slide number 6, if we can move on that. This is just also showing we have what we call a national needs register, which then begins to give us a picture in terms of where we are. Hence, we are able to estimate in terms of the housing backlog. But also, what is important for the purposes of the portfolio committee is to begin to indicate the age groups that we are seeing across the different provinces. Hence, one of the main areas that we're advocating for is that going forward, our focus should really to think the older persons should be part of then the priority beneficiary going forward in order to deal with those issues. So it is one of the issues that we are proposing on the white paper. And also then it will take into consideration some of the aspects that have been raised. So if we move to slide number 7, I think that the first question that we had received was the question around the transfer of older persons' houses or properties without their knowledge, which then leaves them homeless in the long run. And what we are providing as a response is that the transfer of a property is a clear process. So once that process is not followed, it means then there's issues. So it means a transferring of a property or a house entails a legal process, which first needs a written agreement indicating. So when there's a written agreement, then the owner and the receiving occupant or owner should would be aware. So it means then it means the rights of the transferring person and would have been followed. But also we are emphasizing that that process also is that the registration then to a new owner should be managed by conveyancers, which are legal practitioners, and processed through the deeds office. So this is what makes the process very transparent in terms of that the owner is aware, but also then when it's transferred, it is known who is it's transferred to, and the whole process is well detailed. So in cases where then a house is transferred without the knowledge of the owner or the title holder, it is clearly then a fraudulent it needs to be reported to law enforcement agencies. But also in terms of then the subsidized houses on the very same question of when then the houses are transferred without the knowledge, in the Housing Act, Section 10A provides for a restrictive condition which government subsidized property cannot be sold or alienated within a period of 8 years from the date of acquisition. And this is the area that we are still working with the enforcement agencies to make sure, because then this is where we lose the assets that would have been provided by government. The condition is that unless a house or a dwelling or site has first been offered to the relevant provincial housing department, wherein then a person decides to sell the property before the 8 year period. So in terms of this clause, which is in our Housing Act, it provides for measures which serve then to protect government investment in subsidy housing, and as well as to ensure that state subsidized houses are allocated only to qualifying beneficiaries, even if vacated before the period of 8 years. So it's to say, even if then it's sold back, whether to the state, but then the person who must, the next occupier must be a person who qualifies in terms of the qualification criteria that we are looking into. So as the DM highlighted in terms of the white paper process, which is underway, then we are looking into strengthening a similar preemptive clause going forward, which will then seek to strengthen the protection of the older persons' properties in terms of loss of properties that are under their name. Then, Honourable Chairperson and members, the other question that was raised was in relation to older persons being built with houses with ramps inside toilets and bathrooms. First, we indicate that as a department, we've adopted a universal design principle, and as we've indicated, that is something that now we are really strengthening as part of the white paper, so that these principles would be embedded in terms of going forward. And then the current norms and standards in terms of the standalone residential structures will provide 40 squares. Is that We're providing the two bedrooms. Currently, it's not a bath, but it is a shower and a hand basin. So what is not provided for is the issue of the ramps. But then the ramps and burglar proofs, what we have done is that it's currently incorporated for disabled people. So it's an area that then we will have to make a submission for the elderly going forward to have those ramps, considering that the older we get, then the mobility becomes an issue. So these are the areas then, as we have highlighted when it comes then, which I think now I am on slide number, my apologies, I'm not, in terms of the proposals, slide number 10, it's in terms of then the new areas that we need to consider in line with what is being proposed by the committee, then we'll have to undergo the process of then costing such and then getting approval through the MINMEC going forward. But on slide number 11, it's just to raise some of the other issues which have been noted by the department, where then there's been public comments or concerns around where people kind of rent a go-go in terms of applications and allocations in what we end up having as part of our needs register. It's an area that we are looking into. And we'll be raising, because we, as the DM has highlighted, we already have an engagement with the Department of Social Development. We'll be raising those issues. And as the bill is proposing in terms of collaborations between the different departments, we are already having that collaboration, chairperson and members. Then when it comes to slide 12, it's just really highlighting some of the initiatives that we're working on as part of the collaboration between the two departments, of which one is then a policy which is focusing on special needs, which has been approved going forward. I think then the next slide in terms of 13 and 14 are just highlighting in terms of what is then catered for on that special housing needs policy, which we are working into saying we should be launching very soon. So it provides the definition, but it also provides in terms of then who could be the beneficiaries. And we have highlighted that the older persons are part of then the beneficiaries that are prioritized as part of this policy. And then what also is highlighted is that what then can be funded, which is slide number 14, in terms of the current policy which has been approved. So then I think then the last slide is then recommending that the portfolio committee notes then the response that we have provided at the department, and I will then allow maybe my colleague, Paul, if you've got anything that maybe you want to add that would have missed or want to amplify, and then we can hand over back to DM. Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Can I get any additions? Are there any additions?
I'm going to share with Paul. Paul, is there anything that you want to add to what we have presented?
Thanks, Chairperson and DM. Yes, I may just elaborate on Section 10A of the Housing Act and why we are putting it there. We are putting it in the sense that as the DDG has indicated that we have this preemptive clause that to a certain extent limits certain rights to someone who's been allocated a house. We are thinking that it's possible to, when we, if we at some stage we then end up flowing from the white paper, we amend the Housing Act or actually repeal it to Human Settlements Act. We may have to consider that fact and see how best we improve on that type of a section where we may say, for example, that before you sell a house that belongs to an older person, you may have to first seek permission from provincial department. So I'm just giving it as an example to say that kind of preemptive clause to really protect elderly people as the question that was asked is to find a way of helping them. But I know that as DM has indicated that we already have a good working relations with the department we of social development. We would obviously engage them and see how best we can find a way of protecting the older persons in that regard. Thanks, DM and Chairperson.
Thank you. Oh, sorry. I want to head over to you, Chair. Sorry for disturbing you. I wanted to say this is what we have, the presentation that we are presenting today to you, Chair. And again, I want to add that because of the crime, the minister decided that we should, because people with persons with disabilities are unable to protect themselves when there is crime. So we decided as a department that we should put burglars to houses of people with disabilities. And it's something that I was asking myself whether the bill will also cover the people with disabilities. But we decided to put it in this presentation so that you know that the people with disabilities are covered. And we are also saying the minister was on TV today about white paper, and that is also covered in most of the issues in the white paper. And this is our last day of public comment. If there are any submissions to be made, they are accepted, because the 28th is the last day of our public comments. Thank you very much for giving us the time to present to you, Chair.
Okay, thank you very much, DM, and also the official for the presentation. Maybe it's now the time for honourable members to ask questions on the presentation so that we can choose you as you requested that. Let me check the gadget in terms of the hand that has been raised. All right, I see Honorable Polnit, followed by Honorable Mangani and Honorable Bridget. Can we follow that sequence?
Thank you so much. Good morning, Chair. Good morning to everyone that is on this call. And my colleagues.
Morning,
Honorable. Chairperson, this is a very interesting debate, especially for human settlement. Because myself, I have experience in human settlement days where older persons' properties are being sold. And then you find out the people that is working for human settlements is part of this syndicate that is selling the people's houses. Because I've quite a few cases when I was still a counselor, even now I have a case. In the Department of Human Settlement, will send you from the one department to the other department because no one wants to take responsibility for the person's house that is sold. And these old people don't even know what is going on with us. I have a lady that is sleeping by the garage because the house was sold, and the house was turned into a tavern. And the Department of Human Settlement, this guy is working at the department. So it is nice to say all the things that we are saying, But we need to take this thing down to all the departments, because human settlement is where the most of the corruption is taking place. Because all the people that can't think for themselves, that can't speak for themselves, they are the worst victims that these people are abusing like that. So the department must have something in place as well for their own department people that is doing this thing that they are doing to the older person, chairperson. Because the old people only find out later when they are being removed and thrown out of the house. But what is going on? After investigation, we will find out that the guy that bought the house is from the Department of Human Settlement. Then he sell the house to another person, so it doesn't trace to the person that got the house in the first place. So I just need to find out about that one. What is the department doing about that? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Polnitz. Can I give over to Honorable Mandani then?
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Ke a le dumedisa ba botlhe, including
Dumela.
Deputy Minister, ke a re dumela Mme Tshwete. I wanted to get the clarity more about the issue that we are talking about of the house when it's allocated to the elderly. I'm like Honorable Paul Neat. I'm still fighting with the province and the municipality, because the house that was given to two old pensioners in my area, they have been taken, they bring everything, bricks, whatever, all the things, and they come and take them and build the house in another ward. Of which now these two old ladies, they can't get the house because their house, instead of being built in Moses Kotane Ward 17, is built in Madikwe. So the contractors try to come and rectify. And then he was told that he must not rectify, he won't be paid. So I just want to say, when we do this bills, we must strengthen them so that there must be no loopholes. Because for now, really, elderly people are out of their houses. And then we don't know what to do. Again, the other things that I just want to maybe ask, is this one of the older people that have been staying in their houses when they were young, now they are old. But in other provinces, we'll hear that people have got the title deed. Now, where I stay in the township where I stay in Mofa, I've never heard about it, because they've been asking in my constituency why others are given the title deeds at the former Bantustan provinces. They get their title deeds. We don't get our title deeds. I need to get the clarity on that. And then that one that I forgot the name because I joined late. The last guy that was talking about the strengthening of the clause. It should be strengthened because other elderly people, they are mentally retarded. And then they are afraid when you ask them in front of their children why you sell the house. They won't tell you. But when they are alone, they will tell you, yes, I'm staying in the shack because they have sold my house. So we need. There is a lot that we need to do as a different department. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, May Jay. My Bridget.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, and good morning to everyone on the platform. I just would like to thank the Department of Human Settlements for this presentation, and my questions are more for clarity than anything else. First of all, being the slide that showed the overview of the National Needs Register, in the columns that we have the column that is called unknown. but it has the adults and it has the youth. I just would like to know what that means in layman's terms, because there are quite big numbers there, so one would want to know what unknown means. And the other thing, Chairperson, colleagues will recall that without exception, in every single province that we went to during the public hearings, the older persons were complaining bitterly about their houses being sold under the noses, as has been presented here this morning. And I want to believe that this practice has been going on for some time. And when I heard about the white paper that the deputy minister spoke to, I would like to know that the white paper actually takes care of that, and that these people are, what is the recourse? I mean, are they going to get their houses back, or are we starting from when the bill comes to law and then we're going forward? What is the status going to be for the people who, as has been said this morning, are living in their backyards or in garages and things like that, who once had houses? And how is this going to assist them? And also, I was quite excited to hear, on behalf, obviously, of the participants, to hear that there is going to be some incorporation of things like ramps and things like that. Is that also contained in the white paper, or is it not something that needs to be in a white paper? It's just something that can be changed using regulations and things like that. Because also, you got a sense during the public hearings that the older persons, by just the virtue of them being older persons, are saying, include us where you are doing anything that will help people that are frail, or people that whose mobility is getting compromised on a daily basis. So is this going to be an overall thing that is going to happen throughout, so that we do not have to hear these complaints happening going forward? And I really want to appreciate the fact that there is a working relationship between the two departments, that is the Department of Human Settlements and DSD, especially on this issue, because it sounded and it felt like a very, very critical issue, and it sounded like older persons were not just throwing their hands in the air to say we are on our own here, nobody seems to be helping us. So this is welcome, and it's actually a very good news potentially when things will be unfolding, and we will be watching that closely. Thank you so much, Chairperson.
Chairperson, please note my name, please.
Thank you very much, Honorable Bridget, Honorable Aris.
Yeah, good morning, Chairperson. Sorry.
Good morning.
I have raised my hands, but it seems to me you didn't notice it, but thank you very much. Yes, thank you, Chair. Mine, I just want to check from the department whether they prioritize our elderly people when it comes to their waiting list. But apart from that, Chairperson, our elderly people receive these houses, and most of the time these houses are also located with all other people that are all housing beneficiaries that are receiving houses, meaning that our elderly people now live many of times in areas where young people are living and where taverns are, and we all know that currently in the country we are struggling with crime and all these things. So I want to know from the department, in terms of our safety of our elderly, what are they doing in terms of to make sure that our elderly, whenever they are allocated houses, that it is in safe areas? Or will the, or what are the department doing to get to a point where they say, listen here, this project, we are going to budget specifically for elderly or maybe for disabled people, you know, in this specific area. And I'm not talking about these retirement, I don't know what you call it, these houses that they give the elderly. Then I also want to find out from the department, when will they allocate a budget specifically for housing for elderly? Chair, because if you compare the retirement villages of those people that are privileged and these houses that the department give to our elderly, it's a, there's a vast difference. There's a vast difference because in terms of safety, you get health care, you get everything in this private, older, you know, private retirement villages. I want to know from the department, when will we get to a point where we also bring these retirement villages to those elderly people that are less fortunate? Thank you, Jefferson. Jefferson, can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you. Thank you very much, Honorable Eric. Maybe I don't see any other hand now. Bridget, yes, and Honorable Wilango?
Yes. You say you must get in chair or Honorable?
Honorable Bridget.
Okay.
I'm so sorry, Chairperson. I had jotted the questions and I missed this one. I just would like to find out, you know, with the allocation data that the Department of Human Settlements gave us, if there is authentication of identities, you know, and if there are proper, monitoring systems in place to ensure that the process benefits older persons. Because I believe during the presentation, there was a rent-a-gogo mentioned, and I just would like to know what the concept actually entails, because I think it ties in with my question in terms of the authentication of the identities of the older persons that get allocated housing, and also if there are monitoring systems in place to do that. But also, Chairperson, I just want to know if the Department of Human Settlements has attached any time frames to the legislative frameworks, because there is a very welcome acknowledgement of the gaps in this whole process. So if that could just please be part of the response. Thank you so much, Chair. I'm sorry about that.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and good morning, everyone. Chair, just one thing. I had a response by the department, but what I wanted to understand a little bit better is this issue of transfer of houses to grandchildren without the knowledge of the elder. Let's say, for instance, Chair, if the issue or the challenge has been raised in Limpopo, meaning there is a house or there are houses in Limpopo that has been transferred from the elderly to their grandchildren, but without the knowledge of the elderly, that makes the elderly end up being homeless. What is it that the department have done so far in order to trace or to investigate the issues that has been raised. Because the manner in which I understand now is just they are just saying it like it's a rumor, it's not there. But if it's there, can't it be stated clearly that in the Free State or in the Northwest, there was this happening, and as a department, this has been done, or we are in the process of doing this in order to correct the issue, or in order to recoup the house back to the owner. That's what is lacking that I think I didn't hear. Is there any effort to investigate in order to bring back the houses to the rightful owners? Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, honorable members. I don't see any other hand now, but I'm also having some questions, but others have been covered by other members. I'm checking whether the department is able to maybe in the bill also request for the elderly persons' houses to have the alarm system, not only burglaring, but also alarm system, a certain alarm system that will also ring straight to the police station if there is anything that is taking place. I'm asking this question because in Free State, I think in Mangaung or Buchabelo, the houses that were built there, much as they were not in a expected condition, or I will say not to meet the requirements that is supposed to be, but they put some sort of an alarm system in those houses, which we were so excited about it, understanding that at some time, you know, and the person are unable to use even the cell phone very fast for them to be assisted. And in terms of the rent, I'm thinking of myself unable really to climb up the stairs. How soon will this ramp be allowed for the older person, especially in houses that are having stairs? I understand for those that don't have stairs, but for those that have stairs, when do we think this ramp request will be taken forward? The last other thing. Mambilankulu reminds me on their cry of saying that their houses are being transferred by the grants and by the children without their information and knowledge. Sometimes they just heard that they must vacate the house without being informed. How can we cap and try to stop that to happen? In most of all those public hearings in these provinces, there was a cry of this thing. Houses being transferred without their knowledge. Is there any way that we can be able to assist? The last other one, even if it was not in the presentation, can I get it clearly from the human settlement? When is this thing of the title deeds? Do they think that it's going to be done and finished? Because it's tracking and it's taking time. Once upon a time, when I served in the Portfolio Committee of Human Settlement, I knew for a fact that Human Settlement was saying they transferred the money to the municipalities or local municipalities to do this function of transferring and giving them the title deeds. But in municipalities, that hasn't happened. What is the Human Settlement is doing about that? And when do they think they will finish distributing or issuing these title deeds for each and every particular person, especially the elderly person? Because I think I belong to that category. I don't even have a title deed myself. The last other one, I think this that one of the budget that has been asked by Honorable Aris, the one of the budget. Do you have the budget? And in big cities, do you have the data? That is the database in terms of how many older elderly persons that are supposed to get these houses, or do you rely on applications that are being made by councillors, which at times councillors don't obey that and don't do it? Those are the questions I don't want to put more. Maybe when you answer, you will also touch other questions that I might have in mind. Over to you, department.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chairperson, let me start by explaining some issues that has to do with myself and the minister, and then I know that the lawyer Masemula is here to explain further about other issues that they asked. But I want to start by the questions asked by Honorable Aris. Pauline, I think Honorable Pauline, I would like by start by saying, Pauline, you are correct by saying these accusations are always there, and we do have an anti-corruption and fraud in the department, where if you have names of people that have stolen, you bring them forward so that we can't say what you're saying is not true because we don't know. But once we get the names of the people that are accused and also doing all these selling of the houses, and we take them and we fight corruption, and we want them, if you could bring them forward so that we can follow it up. From the sound of things, the culprits are known, as you're saying. So we will wait for the names. I would therefore like to plead with the members to come forward with the names and report these individuals so that the department can cleanse itself and they can be charged and prosecuted, these people. I also asked, you asked about retirement villages for the elders. I would like, the DDGs to speak on that. But what I know, when Minister Kubai joined the department, remember, she started by prioritizing elderly people. It means if you are in the list of you've been waiting for quite some time, we start and prioritize those elderly and build houses for them first. There is no specific money where we say this is for elderly. But we prioritize them from the money that we have, from the funding that we have, we prioritize elderly people. And I do want to again talk to the issue of strategies. The strategies, when we came to the department, now I came, the minister came after me. I do want to agree with you, Chair, and other members that spoke about strategies. We were not very, very fast in terms of issuing the title deeds. But we took a resolution at the MINMEC that every Friday we should issue out title deeds. We agreed that every Friday or every week in all provinces, we told them to submit their programs for issuing title deeds, because we were not very, very fast in terms of. Of course, there are issues of the municipalities that are disappointing us because of the establishing of the township establishment, what would they, the reports that we get from them. So we're trying by all means to work together with the DDM concept. It's helping us to work together with the local government to make sure that we issue title deeds as soon as possible. But that's what we're doing at the moment. And I think I want to hand over to Mr. Masemula to take over and answer all other questions that I have. Thank you very much.
Thanks, DM and Chairperson and honorable members. I think on the issue of building a special area where it will be for older persons, honorable members, that might be also risky to do that because of the crime situation. Criminals will take advantage of the fact that this area, a particular area, it's elderly people, and they might have challenges there. And that's why we, as the department, we continue to make sure that we integrate the older people with middle age and young who are in the same areas. So it may not necessarily be something that might be helpful if we do it that way. But LDM has indicated that the department is prioritizing older persons to have a specially stand-alone houses, because we know that the walk-ups might have challenges for older persons, as I think Honorable Chair has indicated that there would be a challenge where there are stairs and this older person stays in that kind of environment. So it's an understanding that at least older persons should even be prioritized for stand-alone houses. Now, also in addition to that, what has been asked to the department about in the public hearings is for having a house that has its own bathroom, toilet, and toilet. And that is important also to ensure safety of the older persons. As much as already we have that, but I think it's important to emphasize that if you have older persons who still have to go outside when they go to the toilet, it could pose a danger of criminal elements taking advantage of that, knowing that they will have to go out during the night. So I think the issues of safety, the department does take that into consideration when we do the norms and standards. And that's what we are continuously engaging on, to make sure that we improve on those important aspects of protecting our elderly persons when we do that. The issue of a recourse on the elderly persons who may have lost their properties that would have been sold by either grandchildren and so on, family members. And honorable members indicated that he has not seen, or that the white paper is also trying to address that issue of those who have already lost their properties. The thing is that this is a conversation that we are having, and what is key is that to understand is that, as a starting point, is that when someone is given a house and the title deed, it means he's the owner of that house. And if the house is being sold, until such time that the department is informed of the crime that has been committed of fraud where the property has been sold to someone else without the older person's knowledge, the department may not really get involved. But in the instance where it brought to our attention, we do, as the DM has indicated, that we have an anti-corruption unit in the department. We do get involved and also involve the law enforcement agencies to assist in that environment, in that case, to make sure that the perpetrators are arrested, but also to seek ways of assisting them so that the property can come back to their rightful owners. But as I've indicated, that it is indeed a situation where is treated as a case by case. So we will not necessarily say we will take all those cases and resolve them immediately, but as and when they are brought to the attention of the department, we will then seek ways of intervening. Some of them may not necessarily only be for older persons, but those cases where there's a criminal element that is involved, we do find a way of trying to assist and work with our communities to assist them to address those issues. We do not necessarily have a time frame currently of when we will change the legislation, because currently we are still at the stage of a white paper where people are making comments and suggestions as to how they want to see a human settlement sector, the direction that it must take. And that would include issues that are being raised in this meeting, but also other sectors will be raising issues. So once we gather those that information, we will then work on making sure that we change the legislation and to make sure that we accommodate new ideas that have been raised. In fact, it is actually the priority for the department to ensure that we do make those, we take those issues into account when we make a new legislation.
Are you done?
Well, yes. The last thing is that we indeed, I had Honorable Member Masango indicated that we it's a cry that we shouldn't be taking decisions without really involving elderly people. And I think Clause 5 of the bill, that's what it's actually requesting, that there shouldn't be decisions that are taken on or that affect elderly or older persons without really involving them. And I think this bill does also, the bill is requesting that NPOs and NGOs should be also as stakeholders, must be now. It's no longer, because the current act only allows this act to work with the state organs, but this bill is extending its operation to NPOs and NGOs, and I think that will be important. But also with the intergovernmental committee that has been suggested, it will make things easier and be formal to make sure that when we take any other decisions that affect older persons, indeed they are taken into account, their views are taken into account, and in that implementation, I think we will do that, Honorable Members. Thank you very much, DM. I think Buteles might also be able to add on other things, Honorable DM. Thanks.
Nana Buchelezi, you want to say something?
Thank you very much, DM. It's only on two areas, DM. Good morning, Chairperson, Honorable Members, and thank you for the opportunity. I am Nontlandla, my name is Buchelezi. The part which I would like to respond to, it's the point around those aged persons who have been deemed to be mentally retarded. In that regard, I think probably will require a further collaboration with the Department of Social Development such that we are able to respond properly in relation to what needs to be done, because the levels of illnesses, they vary. There could be those that maybe will be deemed to be state presidents, patients which should not basically be considered because of the nature of the level of illness. but because the allocation gets done, it requires people to look at the sick notes that will be coming from the district surgeons. It does require that we collaborate in detail around that. The other area DM I thought I could deposit on, it's in relation to the systems. The question around what is it that we are referring to in terms of the slide where we had the overview. The information has been classified like that, given that in some instances, beneficiaries would not have given us the what gender. For the small, younger people, the issue will be the fact that they are acknowledging themselves as people who are transgenders. But for the older generation, it's information that would not have been captured on the system. I think I'm going to stop the DM and allow the DDG to proceed.
Thank you very much. I think you are the last person, if I'm not mistaken. I think one of the issues that I see written on the chat, somebody was saying buildings that are there, we should use them. And I want to say buildings that are in towns, most of them, they belong to various departments, not to Department of Human Settlements. Some belong to municipalities. And I do want to add, Chair, by saying elderly people, I'm beginning to be stubborn, even me, because I'm 72 years old. The elderly people, they choose where they want to stay. You can't force them to go to a retirement village. And another thing, some people in our cultures believe that they want to be with their mothers until to the time of death comes. And I do want to say, we always listen to what the elderly people want. And our duty or our responsibility is to protect them. There was another question again, which was on the chat, that says, do we check if the all the time, if houses belong to the elderly? Like if I've given an elderly person a house, how often do I go and check? Unless there's a case that brought to us, elderly people are more than, I don't know how many there are in South Africa. For us to check every house, does this elderly still belong to this? No, we don't work like that. But if there are cases that come forward, we deal with those cases. But I wouldn't lie to you to say we go and monitor all elderly people in the whole of South Africa to check if houses still belong to them. But what we did, we make sure that once the house is taken, and this bill is going to assist us, that now we'll have a bill that says once you transfer the house illegally, we're going to deal with you. And this, we have now the bill that will help us to do what we want to do. And I want to also raise something that happened to my family. I was phoned by a cousin sister to say, my brother is selling my father's house. He's no longer staying with us, but we found a bank that came to us to say, Pumalukulenti, that this house was sold. I had to ask them, only to find there are people, in fact, I reported this matter to both the human settlements in the province. There are people that own offices in Pecan Bay where they say to people, bring your houses to us. The government, 2024, is next after elections is going to give you 250.
DM? Hello? DM?
Sir, it's the network. Lastly, okay. Sir, it's happening. This thing of transferring houses illegally is happening, and I want to stop it.
I have a strong network problem. Yeah, it's in and out. And I think Unala is here with us. I don't know whether Nala, you want to say something. No, Nana is not here now. She has gone to another meeting. But that's the end of the presentation. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Oh, sorry, Chair. There's something that I want to correct, something that now the white paper is extended to this to the 15th of March. As from today, we will now extend it, the consultations, to the 15th of March. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, DM and also officials. Honorable members, that's the presentation from the department. Can we then, if there are any other hands or follow-up, give
Chairperson?
Yes?
Can I just respond to what, I don't know what his name is, that have responded to my question in terms of when I was asking about this security villages, and he did make mention that it would be dangerous for elderly to stay there. Let me tell him something. There's also safety because that villages have security fences. They have security. They must just think out of the box and to ensure the safety of our people. Our people, it is not a thing that the elderly will now be more open to criminals. They must go and look at the statistics of these private security villages that normally these people, rich people, can afford. That villages are very safe. And I want us to have that same concept for our people that are less fortunate. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, it's fine. You know, honorable members, other issues, they might not be able to answer it now or answer them now, but they will put their mind and their thinking on it, because the reality of the matter, it is exactly as you are saying, that even if the elderly person are being known that they are staying in this area, it must also be known that they are secured enough as much as they can, even if they have those alarm system that we're talking about and the burglaring system that they are talking about. But what is critical? And DM, really, in the Amendment Act that we have just consulting about, yeah, we are not really forcing the older person to move to the centers. The reality of the matter, it goes with the culture. The culture of our people depends on whether they would love to go to the centers, and the ones that are saying they mustn't go through the court and take a longer time, it's the ones that the community and also the social worker is recommending that those ones need to be removed to the centers. Otherwise, our Amendment Act is not saying, Amendment Bill is not saying that they must. You are right by saying abandonabadala, they would love to stay with their kids and ute atundomdala ndifuna ufela endlini. So we are very cautious of that. And I will move it. We appreciate your presentation, because it also answers some of other questions that we were having. I think for now we have to recuse you and request you to leave us and attend other meetings as you have requested. Thanks ever so much, dear, and your team. You are excused.
Thank you very much, Chair, and the honorable members.
Thanks, and bye.
Jerry.
Morning, sir. I am unable to hear you, Chair, from this side. I'm not quite sure what.
Okay, I'm sorry. I forgot to unmute. I'm requesting you to please allow the second presentation, which is Salka.
Okay. Thanks, Chair.
Will they please fly to their presentation?
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson. I'm not Bele Makanda. I would like to fly to the presentation on behalf of Councillor Bokonzi.
Okay. Good morning, Nozi. Long time.
Indeed. It's so good to see you, Chairperson. Thank you.
Platform is yours, Nozi.
I'm just waiting for the host to enable me to share, Chairperson.
Okay.
Good morning, Chair. It's Councillor Pukunzi here. Good morning to you and the members of the Portfolio Committee. I am trying to open my video, but it seems as if I am unable to do so, Chair.
You were born before technology, eh?
No, that's not the reason, Chair. It says the Zoom does not allow me. I did test it earlier. It was on. I don't know what is the...
What's the problem? Okay.
Sorry, okay. Sorry, can you please allow... I'm not Bele, please, as a co-host. I cannot do it this side. Only you can do it.
Will you please cite the presentation?
Chairperson, I'm ready to, but I just need the host, whoever is in control of the platform, to allow me. It says here, host disabled to participate in screen sharing. But Lindy, who has the presentation, maybe she can help me to fly it on her side if this is causing delay.
Will you please?
You mean I only have the notes? You mean the notes, ma'am?
Yes.
All right.
The latest, Lindy. Thank you.
The latest.
The one that they are.
Yeah, I've heard that news. You submitted very late yesterday, which is not accepted.
My humble apologies, Chairperson. My humble apologies.
Is this the correct one, ma'am? I'm not sure which one is the latest now, sorry. Is this the right one?
Yes, that is the right one. Thank you.
All right.
Councillor Pogonzi?
Chair, good morning and honorable members of the Portfolio Committee. I'm still struggling, Chair. I don't know really what is the problem because I did test my video earlier when the meeting started. It was on, but now it seems as if I've got serious problems. If you permit me, Chair, I am going to proceed with what we are charged Salga to do in the Portfolio Committee. We really appreciate the platform that is given to us to come and speak to the issues that were raised during your public participation processes in various provinces, in various municipalities, that's our member municipality in the country. Chair, the committee, as I've said, that we are invited to come and respond to the comments and questions that were provided to us. In the issue raised relating to clause 3, 4, 5, and 12 on the municipal bills are not affordable to older persons, Chairperson. Our response is that in 2003, the Department of Minerals and Energy promulgated a free basic services policy to ensure a level of access to basic municipal services to poorer households who could not afford to pay for them. This policy determined 50 kilowatts
per hour of electricity and 6 kiloliters of water to this identified household chairperson. The Department of Corporate Governance and Traditional Affairs developed guidelines for municipalities to develop their indigenous policies to implement the 3 basic police services. All municipalities must develop, keep, and update an indigenous register. The 3 basic service policy provides for 3 basic water, 3 basic energy, 3 basic sanitation, and 3 basic refuse removal. The National 3 Basic Service Policy provides that these services are to be administered by local government in line with the Municipal Systems Act of 2000, Act Number 32. Chair, the basic services component of the local government equitable share allocation helps municipalities to provide 3 basic services like your 3 basic water, sanitation, electricity, and refuse removal services to households that fall below an affordability threshold to municipalities. Linking rate relief to twice amount of the old age grant is firmly typical of targeting indigent in various municipalities. Municipalities use various targeting mechanisms for their indigency qualification, the Honorable Chair. Many provide full exemption to persons on the indigent register. For an example, Cape Town, Nelson Mandela Bay and Egru Lane have innovative sliding scale rebates for pensioners and disabled person with varying numbers of income categories. The national policy has not changed since its promulgation in 2003 on the allocation for the electricity. Energy and water and sanitation. Some municipality has over time increased the free energy component of 50 kilowatt to 60 or up until 100 kilowatt, and on water from 6 kiloliters to 10 kiloliters, Chair. The experience is that the policy does not consider the household size, and as such, in many instances, especially in townships, the 50 kilowatt and 6 kiloliter are inadequate, and where the conventional electricity distribution is used, these households are left with debts for consumption beyond 50 kilowatts. This has left municipalities with inflated debt books from people who will never afford to pay. Where meters are installed, most households bypass the system instead of buying electricity beyond the consumption of 50 kilowatts, leading to electricity losses. In most instances, this has led to people who qualify for these services feeling it is a waste of time for them to pay. In rural communities, the poor who mostly use electricity for lighting and cooking are identified and ESCOM provides their energy. Where there is no energy and water access, alternative energy is provided to indigent households and water harvesting and cattling mechanisms are provided, Chair. The elderly whose household's income equals to 2 elderly people's income and below qualify for being indigent and getting all these benefits above. On the second question, it was there should be a separate dedicated queues and services for older persons. Salga, we agree and support the request by the community members for separate queues for older persons due to their possible physical impairments and based on the reports from the public hearings that older persons get pushed on the queue. These queues should then also accommodate persons with disabilities. However, Chair, the implementation of this initiative must be determined by the human and infrastructural resources available in a municipality. This is a part of mainstreaming the vulnerable groups, in this case, the elderly. SALGA will advise and support municipalities to mainstream the elderly as one of the vulnerable groups, Chairperson. The next one was on municipal workers are not trained on how to deal with older persons. SALGA provides regular support and advice to municipalities on the conclusion and mainstreaming of vulnerable groups, Chair. As part of the support and advice provided by SALGA to municipalities, SALGA will collaborate with relevant sector departments such as the Department of Social Development so that the communication sensitivity towards older persons improves at the local level. SALGA professionalization program of the sector will also investigate these aspects which include the Batupelu principle, Chairperson. And there was the other one that speaks to the NPO running old age services centers for the older persons operating from municipal owned buildings are struggling to obtain lease agreements from municipalities. They need these agreements for registration purposes. Chair, what we are saying is that we will need an audit of these facilities and engage all the parties concerned, as well as the planning and facility
Management Directorate will be engaged to understand the reason for the challenge above to find the desired solution by all concerned. In some cases, the NGOs are refusing to pay the minimum lease required by the municipalities, and there's no formal agreement that obligate any party. Some of the properties belong to sector departments and have nothing to do with municipalities except payment of municipal services, which is sometimes a challenge. On older age services, centers struggle to obtain land from local municipalities. The spatial development framework of municipalities provides for land allocation for various uses, and where land is not available, the zoning of existing facilities to suit the land use requirements is done. A consultation process is undertaken annually to review the SDF mainstreaming of elderly needs in this regard will need to be followed up, Chairperson. And then on recommendation made by the public, elderly people should be educated on the indigenous policy. We agree on that one, Chair. But what we are saying again as well is that municipalities embark on annual consultation and communication of the indigenous registration season. Ward councillors with ward committees also assist in identifying them in the communities and communicating the registration period, as now we are starting that particular registration process, Chairperson. The registration is done in municipal facilities, including walk-ins on offices. SALGA has plans to support municipalities to improve community awareness of indigenous policies in the 2024-25 financial year, as well as digitalizing the registration processes. Consolidation data from various departments like Home Affairs, Department of Social Development, and SASA. We support special focus on the elderly people, Chairperson, as SALGA. On the municipal workers should be trained on how to deal with older persons. I think this one is repeating itself, but we are saying SALGA provides regular support and advice to municipalities on the inclusion and mainstreaming of vulnerable groups as part of the support and advice provided by SALGA to municipalities. SALGA will collaborate with relevant sector departments, such as the Department of Social Development, the Department of Women, Children and People with Disabilities, so that the communication and sensitivity towards the older persons improves at local level. And then the other one was that there should be sign language interpretation at municipal offices. With sign language now being the 12th official language in South Africa, SALGA will continue to create awareness of the need for sign language skills in municipalities. Furthermore, SALGA will engage with the Department of Human Youth and Persons with Disabilities, the Department of Corporate Governance and Traditional Affairs, and other stakeholders to assist municipalities in identifying options. It is an expensive exercise, and partnership with disability sector will be needed not only to focus on sign language, but extending access to municipal information, meetings, and programs to all levels of disability, Chairperson. And then it says that SALGA need to indicate a readiness to implement the proposal contained in the bill. On the amendment of clause one, and then explanation is that the bill proposed an amendment to the definition of residential facility to include private, public, independent living, assisted living, and frail care facilities. The definition does not change the role of local government for a residential facility change to independent living facility. Local government will continue to play the role of municipal health services by, amongst others, conducting inspection of facilities in line with applicable norms and standards, ensuring environmental health and safety compliance with bylaws, monitor and operation of the facilities for adherence to standards and registration requirements, issue health certificates to facilities that comply with requirements. Clause one also is on the bill proposes an amendment to the definition of means a structure consisting of the sector department and other stakeholders. SALGA supports the amendment of Clause 1 and Clause 3, which introduce an interdepartmental structure to integrate coordination and monitor the effective implementation of the Act in order to address the poor coordination and intersector collaboration challenges mentioned in the memorandum on the objects of the Older Persons Amendment Bill, Chair. With use of minimal resources, it is important to note that mainstreaming does not mean that municipalities should be directly providing services to older persons, but service provision through mainstreaming in local government can be achieved through the municipality playing different roles, including being a doer, a facilitator, an enabler, and coordinator of services. SALGA will continue to advise and support municipalities in the implementing of older persons' bill in terms of the local government mandate, which includes the following chair. On the role of a doer, the municipality can directly provide services to older persons as it aligns to the mandate of local government. Activities that will be embarking on: inspection of old age homes, provide services to older persons as part of the indigent. The bylaws are sensitive to the, must develop bylaws that are sensitive to the needs, create an enabling environment for their participation in the IDP processes. On the, and then enabler, the municipality can enable other sectors, your NGOs and the private sector, to effectively deliver services to older persons. Municipalities can provide municipal buildings to be used by NGO and other government departments, directly rendering services, create a support, a supportive policy environment. And then on the coordination, we are saying that municipality can act as a protector to older persons, coordinate activities of other role players to ensure that older persons are not compromised. And then the activities that we'll be doing is that coordinate the work of NGOs providing services to the elderly people to ensure that there is proportional spread across different areas. Facilitate establishment of discussions forums for older persons and young people to preserve cultural integrational programs. We are also saying that work with the other partners to establish financial management programs to reduce vulnerability from loan sharks. As we all know that our older people are, they are cut because of the conditions and the culture that they cannot let their grandchildren die. They end up being in the loan sharks because they want to protect their grandchildren. On the connector, we are saying that the municipalities can also play a role of linking up and referring older persons to the service providers according to their needs. We are saying the activities that we'll be doing as SALGA is establishment of user-friendly help desks in municipalities to provide information to the elderly people as a referral point. In conclusion, Chairperson, we are saying we will fulfill the above-mentioned rules, requires the service provision for older persons is consciously integrated in municipal planning and processes. And this can be done through the integrated development planning process where issues, priorities, projects, and budget are determined, Chairperson. We really want to say we are honored and we support the bill as it's in the process of being amended, Chairperson. We'll try our level best as SALGA to make sure that our municipality do assist on many issues that have been raised. As all of us, we are aware that our municipalities are changed, are faced with challenges of non-payment of services, but our elderly people, Chair, as a case stand, even in the municipality where I come from, if I have to cite that particular example, we have taken a resolution, a policy that says that all elderly persons that are on the indigent, they will be there. They don't have to come and review from on a yearly basis as we are doing it. But what we need to do is to confirm as to whether the elderly persons that are residing in a particular residential area are still there. If an instance that they are no longer there, then it's only then the process that will start off ensuring that the indigent registration that kicks us. But if and only if they are elderly and their grant combined fall within the indigent registration, they qualify, Chairperson. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Honorable Councillor. Nozi, any additions?
Honorable Chairperson and members, thank you very much. I have no addition, Chairperson. She has covered all the issues that we wanted to raise with the portfolio committee. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Nozi. Can I request that the honorable members ask questions from the presentation done by SALGA? Oh, Honorable Leticia, is it an old hand or?
No, it's fine, it can be a new one.
Okay, it can be a new one. I like that. Okay, if it can be a new one, can I give over to Honorable Leticia and then followed by Honorable Polnitz?
Yeah, thank you very much, Chairperson. Chairperson, we did hear in the public hearings the cry of our elderly people, specifically for, you know, this elderly centers and the issue of land. So
I really want SAUGA to look into this specifically because you find, let me just make an example. In George, for instance, there's one center where these people can go. When you look at the population size, it is, I don't know, more than 100, 200,000 people in George. And I ask myself, when will SAUGA get to a point where they, or the municipalities get to a point where they allocate, because in each ward of the country, we have more than 200, 300 people that are elderly people within a respective ward. And we seriously need to look at it when the municipalities are doing their spatial development planning, that they allocate or earmark land in each ward to ensure that there's, you know, land available for these elderly people to have their centers where they can go every day and do some activities. Then also, Chairperson, yes, our elderly qualify for the equitable shares, but there are instances and there are municipalities. You know what they do, Chairperson, is that when the elderly people's municipal counts get into arrears, they then block the people's electricity. Doesn't go and buy electricity for 100 rand. They then take about 50 rand for the arrears on the account. But nowhere, when the first people give their accounts, nowhere on that account, that 50 rand that they have deducted from the electricity reflected on that account. This one is a very serious one that SAUGA urgently need to look into. And even it happened in George as well, because I want to make mention, because that is where I have found that. And then in terms of accessibility to some of these municipal buildings and facilities, we seriously need to look at that, because our elderly struggle to get access, you know, to these buildings. Thank you, Chairperson.
Hello, honourable members, can we give over to the honourable Polnit?
Thank you so much, Chairperson. Chairperson, I want to agree with SAUGA about the indigenous policy that we are having, but not all the municipalities are having this indigenous policy. Some of the municipality will give you free units of water and electricity. But if you look at the 50 units of electricity that they are giving, it don't even last for 2 days because the electricity is so expensive. And I want to agree with SAUGA to say that some of these debts will never be paid because the old people cannot afford it. But what is even worse, Chairperson, is that some of the municipalities are handing these old people over to debt collectors. And the debt collectors, every time when they call you, they charge you for the phone call, they charge you for looking at your account and all these things. These old people, they are so nervous because of this. They're not used to getting lawyers' letters, but the municipalities are doing it. So we want to, SAUGA, to please sort this thing out, because when a person is over 60 or 65 and is getting an old age pension, that grant, it's not enough to pay all the bills. And then there must be a reduction in the rates, the water and electricity for these older persons, because they won't be able to pay for these things. Some municipalities are having it, some are not having it. And while they're on the indigenous register, it takes time for the municipality to write off those debts. Depends when they're going to have the meeting to write these debts off. Chairperson, then the other thing I want to agree with them is that the land. Most municipalities don't even know which land they are owning. And in all the public hearings, like Honorable Leticia was just saying now, the only person who asking for land, but they can be safe because they're not safe in their own houses. They want to build a place for them so that these people can sleep in a safe place. They want land where they can start growing their own vegetables. And some people are asking for land where they can exercise and be healthy. And some of the municipalities is making their lives very difficult because they are not giving these people these lands. And as you can see, there's a shortage of old age homes to take in all these old people. There is not enough old age homes, and the department are not building new old age homes. So this thing is very, very important for the old people is the safety, and then to have reduced rates and taxes from the municipality and water and electricity, and then also for them to be safe where they are, because a lot of these old people are being abused by their own children and grandchildren. So I'm very happy. The same, like I said last time with Kisatu, they brought this bill of something for the bill. The same, I'm very happy with Salga recognizing that we have a crisis with our old people, and our old people need to be looked after. So these are the areas where the old people are struggling with is the debt, water, electricity, and then also space where they can build these facilities so that they can look after the old people. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Chairperson.
Thank you. Honorable
Chair.
Is it Kate?
Chair, do you hear me?
Hello?
Oh, can I just add something before Salga is answering the question? Here is another issue that I want to raise, and that is the issue of elder people that are receiving a pension, but not necessarily a pension from social development. I want to know from Salga, because that older people, even though they are, you know, pensioners, they've been excluded from the equitable share based on the fact that they are receiving, for example, a pension from government because they have worked in one or another department. I want to know from Salga, when will they get to the point where, because right now they are looking at the income of the people, but then I feel, or we feel, that they deprive people from being pensioners to a right that they have to get these equitable shares. Thank you.
Honorable Aris, thank you, Honorable Aris. I don't see any other hand. Honorable Nozi.
Thank you, Chairperson, and again, greetings to you as well as the Portfolio Committee, and I also greet my leader there, Councillor Kokonzi, and the colleagues in the platform. Honorable Chairperson, let me appreciate the question and the fact that the members do agree with some of the critical points that you have raised. And maybe let's start with the issue of allocating resources like land and facilities for the elderly. Chairperson, indeed, as we have indicated, we do have a special development framework, and indeed, all municipalities do have a special development framework. And in that plan, there is indication of what land belongs to whom and what plans are there for that land. And most of the time then, municipalities can only plan for land that belongs to them. And in instances where the private sector does submit its plan to the municipality, then such plans get incorporated into the municipality's special development framework, and as such, then everyone gets to know what is happening in the pieces of land available in a municipality. Then perhaps there could be issues of, because again, the SDF gets updated on an annual basis, Chairperson, so to update into on issues as of land ownership, as of the changes that may have happened in the land use, in the land use as there, as also to incorporate new plans and proposals as time is going on. Now, indeed, it is not necessarily the responsibility of the municipality then to provide for facilities,
because whilst the municipality does have public facilities like halls, art centers, libraries, etc., and some municipalities actually do own some of the old age centers, and as such they are able to run them. And then sometimes in partnership with the Department of Social Development. I do agree that day care centers are necessary, but it would be difficult to then burden municipalities with that, other than to say that the forum of the elderly is existing in most municipalities, then should determine where the centers are and who's going to help them to run the centers. And if they are opting to use municipal facilities, then they reach agreement with the municipalities on how then and what time they're going to operate in those. But it is mostly social development, then that would have daycare centers for the elderly so that they can practice their crafts and they can keep each other company, each other company. And indeed, maybe it is a weakness in government failure, a weakness in government in terms of planning for the needs of the population, as the population pyramid would indicate how many elderly are at a given period, so that then you know that there will be a time when you will need most, in terms of the allocations, you will need most more old age homes. So that remains an issue that then municipalities can only hope for collaboration with other sector departments to be able to address this, because it's a burden that they cannot really hold on their own. Now, on the free basic services, one of the reasons why that is why we should go to town, Chairperson, in terms of explaining the policy, is also a concern that we have as SALGA, that from experience, municipalities provide according to the guidelines of the policy, but they had to, especially the metros, they had to then realize that 50 kilowatts is not adequate. 6 kilometers is not adequate, because some of the households are big. And so they would allocate a little bit extra outside the national policy. And they would have their own. And now you will have municipalities then kind of differentiated depending on their capacity and their available resources from their own revenue. And remember, revenue collection remains a very serious challenge in municipalities because of the loss of jobs as well as the age of the population in some of the smaller municipalities, where you find that most of the youth and working population are not there, but it's only the elderly and the unemployed that live in those municipalities. Then it becomes a challenge to collect revenue, and that even it affects then some of the own revenue that the municipality will be using to provide for extras over and above the national policy. So what SALGA has done, we recently had about 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, Chairperson, we recently had a workshop where we brought all these departments, we brought the Department of Minerals and Energy, National Treasury, as well as some of the private sector partners that are in the energy sector, because electricity is the biggest challenge, and municipalities are suffering major losses in as far as electricity and water. And so one of the things that we then discussed was that how can there be a national policy that does not provide for escalation in terms of what would be the needs of the communities? Whilst the 50 kilowatts is appreciated in rural communities where the poor have minimal use of electricity. But the reality is that in rural areas, people now are building bigger houses and they're buying more appliances. Even the poor themselves want to make their lives easy by buying more appliances. So 50 kilowatts, to agree, Honorable Leticia, that it is not enough. And some municipalities are trying. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to bring in standardization, because even though some municipalities have increased the kilowatts, they are suffering. Like the store Cape Town has been providing for everyone standard free, but it is no longer sustainable. They are not affording that. And they're even considering that even the 50 kilowatts is too much if they are going to continue. So they are now starting to establish targeting mechanisms to provide. So you'll realize that the national policy provides that the minimum, or rather the maximum for qualification as an indigent is 2 pensions from the state grant. So it is then anticipated that there will be a male and a female, that is the grandmother and grandfather, who are living together. And their combined income from the social grant then determines then the ceiling for the eligibility. So that amount, which I think is 4,000 and something now, is where we start and then lower. So that is the main targeting that is provided by the national policy. But some municipalities have added other variables for targeting vulnerable groups. But the main variable is the income bracket. And so if anyone is earning higher than what is provided by the two pensions, then that person does not qualify, even if they are old, they don't qualify to be in the indigency register. So in some municipalities, even provided for example, for a rebate on rates, they would determine that a person is indigent if their house value is 500 and below. Like that is the city of Cape Town example. If anyone who lives in a house 500,000 and below, then that person then qualifies for rate rebate as provided for by the indigency policy. And Kokstad is a different, funny enough, you expect, of course, the property market in Cape Town is far expensive than Kokstad. So Kokstad has also added the variable of housing prices. So 800,000 and below, all of those qualify for rebate in rates. So that is then the service provided by the elderly. Now, one of the things then that happens as a result of the policy, as I think we've explained it in the presentation we made, that the 50 kilowatts and the 6 kiloliters are not adequate, and it leaves the elderly with debt. It leaves the poor, that are not necessarily the elderly, with debt that they will never be able to pay. Because if you are in a conventional system, you expected that after the 50 kilowatts is finished, then the meter starts counting and then you accumulate debt and you must go and pay. And that is one of the reasons why the elderly then go to municipalities to pay for the difference between the 50 kilowatts and what they have consumed for the month, which is in their debt. So where the households are bigger because of the conditions of the poor, where the elderly are looking after their own sons and daughters and that grandchildren who are not employed, then it becomes a problem. But also there is a flip side to this chapter in that in some instances, the elderly are living with their children who are teachers and policemen who live in place behind. And sometimes that income of the household is not factored into. And as a result, you have people who have expensive appliances that are consuming under the guise of the indigents that are owning the household, but yet their income as teachers and public servants living in the same household is not factored into the household income, which is some of the things that municipalities are struggling with. So again, added to this is we're trying to find a mechanism as SALGA. We're developing a digitalization tool that is going to help municipalities to identify the real indigents, working with Home Affairs, the database of Home Affairs and Social Development and SAFA, so that then we know that as soon as we know the indigents, they are verified, and then a mechanism to make it easy for the elderly to using technology to register and then in the updating of the indigenous register over time to make it easy for the elderly at least to be part of that. But we still do not have a solution, Jefferson, on the guests that are old. As a result, municipalities are struggling with people who ignore even registering as indigents because they know that 50 kilowatts is not enough. They are going to just pinch and steal the electricity. So that they are not appearing in any way. And then when that is discovered, then the meter is removed from those households, and then they get no access to energy at all. And then you know that gives rise to all the corruption because they are able to pay the corrupt officials to reinstate the meters to reconnect, but they do not want to pay the municipal services with the money that they have or buy the municipal services, because then eventually municipalities buy this electricity from ESCOM. It is a trading service, and they must pay that to ESCOM whilst making some form of revenue for themselves, and it becomes a challenge. And municipalities then suffer the most from household and business, and as well as government debt, in as far as this is concerned. Then, indeed, Honorable Leticia, you will have then anyone that earns higher than the bracket on the policy, then is liable. Is not qualifying to be added in the indigency register. Then, of course, you will then have a problem because some municipalities, because of capacity, will just take the debt register to a service provider to collect debts on their behalf. So the service provider will not even know who or how old the person is per se, but they'll just be pursuing the debt, the municipal debt, for the payment of municipal debt. That's why municipalities provide, in some instances, mechanisms for people to come forward and make arrangements for their debt and state their story for their circumstances to be considered so that they do not have to be pursued for their debt. So some of the information debt in municipalities assist in this regard. And while SALGA can only advise, but municipalities still need to collect what is owed to them. And of course, the MFMA, when it comes to debt write-off, there is provisions of the Municipal Finance Management Act that must be followed and the related regulation before a debt write-off may be considered. Otherwise, municipalities will be disclaimed if they do debt write-offs willy-nilly outside the legislative process. And again, some of the processes get tedious because local government is one of the most legislated spheres, and compliance with legislation is needed, and failure then leads to municipalities having a disclaimer in the audit opinion. And of course, on the issue of land, as I said, most municipalities, through their special development planning processes, as they establish their special development framework, then they would do a land audit. So municipalities would know who owns what land. They may, like at least the basic of saying, this is municipal land, this is government land, this is a private land. So where is private land? They may not necessarily know all the owners, but they would know that this is private land. And then, of course, there are mechanisms with the deeds office to establish exactly who then owns what piece of land where. So land in a municipal space is definitely accounted for. Of course, when it comes to old age homes, and I guess in most rural towns, and in the sense that even now the elderly are beginning to move to city centers or to city areas, so there is a demand, a higher demand for old age homes. And this is again a function, municipalities can only provide land that would be available, and again influence must be done through the special development framework. Hence we are saying that then in the IDP process, in the rural process, then discussions should be entertained, and of course each municipality will then, according to its priorities, be able to allocate land according to the use that would then be the most appropriate at the time. We do agree that the elderly, as part of the vulnerable groups, must be accommodated. And again, the Department of Human Settlements, as well as the property developers, then need to also be encouraged to make provision for the elderly, and I'm grateful for Honorable Fajr's presentation and of course indication that there will be mechanisms to also build human settlements that would cater for or centers for the elderly. But again, having said that, in our culture, most of the elderly do not want to live away from their families, and they end up living alone in their homes, making them more vulnerable. They regard being sent to an old age center as being torn away or neglected by the family. So it's only the affluent types that still are willing to go to these centers, unless then a threat on their safety has been terribly affected, then are they willing to move? Which is some of the things that then in the smaller municipalities remain a challenge. But I totally agree that the higher the percentage of the elderly in the community, the more all planning should also accommodate their needs, including municipal plans. But this collaboration that is being proposed will also be able to bring this to the fore. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Thank you, Lucy. Can I get honorable members if they would like to have a follow-up? Seemingly, there is no other head.
I'm sure they are.
Mm-hmm.
Can I just, is it possible for Salga to introduce one thing to all the municipalities? So when they introduce these tariffs for the older persons, that all the municipalities are on the same length, because some municipalities are having it, some are not having the indigenous. Some municipalities don't give discounts. So if Salga can come up with a policy where all the municipalities must be on the same level when it comes to the older persons, if that is possible. Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay, one question.
Yeah, Chairperson, on the
maybe. Okay. Hello, who's going to answer?
Sir, I needed to speak on that one to say, so much as it is our wish to have all municipalities to have the same indigenous policy, it is going to be very impossible because of the sizes of the municipality. But the equitable share that is being allocated to municipalities caters for the indigenous people in the municipality. So it is what one can say is that as Salga will be holding the mayor's council very soon, we'll also take issues that have been raised here, Chairperson, to take them up, to escalate them to the mayor's council to say these are the issues that have been raised when we attended the portfolio committee, and how best can we deal so that we can be able to take an informed decision, because we are taking note of this, as Ms. Nozia said, that it's not all elderly people that would want to leave their premises and go and stay in the old age centers, because honestly, Chair, it's very difficult with us, with our tradition, to say I'll leave my grandchildren and my family to go and reside in the old age centers. And again, it is going to be quite impossible to have the old age centers in all the wards, Chairperson, precisely because you will have a minimal number, and those people, they won't all attend. At last palace, example is that we do have centers, but at the end of the day, it is not all elderly people that do attend these centers. They prefer to be at their homes, prefer to be with their grandchildren and their family. So we are taking note of all the issues that have been raised, especially the issues of George Chairperson. We'll then have to go back and really try to look into other issues, but others are beyond our control to say, we can't really say, unless the policy change from National Department of Culture to say, we can really look into the policy instead of us giving 50 kilowatts and 6 kiloliters, how can we increase? Because the equitable share came in as per what it has been allocated to various municipalities. If you go the route of saying we'll give 100 kiloliters of water, it means the municipalities are going to have a shortage. And it will then have to have a deficit in the budget of this particular municipality, Chairperson. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you very much, Councillor. And then I hope that I'm looking for hands, but I don't see any other hand. I think you left me. Thank Salga for their presentation. We hope that we will continue asking you questions as they arose or as they arise, because we understand exactly that most of the elderly person, when we were doing public hearings, they were not sure. In fact, they were not aware of the indigent policy that is in local municipality. So maybe as Salga, we have to make an awareness in terms of the local municipality, especially the ward councillors, to know that wherever they are, for the people that are qualifying for indigent policy, they have to apply for other services. In all or most of the provinces, they were not aware of that. And they were complaining about the billing system in terms of paying high rates without having this indigent policy. I don't know what is happening from the Muyoka municipality. Maybe it is because of the lack of awareness in terms of that. And also the councillors, that is the low, the, what is it, the ward councillors, don't make the elderly person to be aware of that. So we request SALGA to assist us on that. It is so painful when they are crying of the high rates of the services whilst they qualify for the indigent. Thank you very much, SALGA, for the presentation. Then,
if can we release the person? We have other engagement.
I can't hear you.
I was requesting that if chair permits, can we be released, chairperson, so that we can attend to other issues? This is cool.
Yes. I was about to release you, honorable councillor, and also Nosy, because we are done with your presentation and also questioning. That is why I'm summarizing by saying we will keep on interacting with you if there are any issues outside this thing or outside this presentation that you have made. Thanks ever so much. Keep up the good work, and we hope that you will assist us in this regard. You are excused.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Bye.
Thank you. Have a good Easter and pass over. Thank you. Honorable members, let's conclude our business by getting into the next item, which is the minutes. Can we request Jerry to flight the minutes?
I'm going to assist Chairperson.
Yuli?
Yes, Chair. I'm just going to close some of the documents I have opened here. Because they're blocking this one that I want to open.
Yuli, sir, I'm struggling to leave the meeting. Can you remove me from the meeting, please? Thank you.
And this is Ma'am Nosy. Sorry, this is who's speaking.
Yes, it's Steve speaking. Kindly remove me from the meeting. Good morning and thank you.
Oh, that's Steve. Oh, okay.
Yes.
All right. Hi. Done.
Keep it present. Chairperson, I just want to find out, I thought we're going to have a presentation by the Department of Policing also today.
Oh, is there in the agenda?
No, ma'am.
What I heard before, the police couldn't make it because the police said that they request another date than this one. So I didn't even see it that it's included in the agenda. I don't think it's included because they upfront apologize for not coming to the meeting. I'm sorry for not...
I saw the slides of the police. That is why I'm asking, because I wrote down some questions So I didn't know they're not going to be part of the meeting. Sorry, Chairperson.
Okay. I'm sorry, Nam, for not announcing that they have apologized. Yoli?
Chairperson, I think I only have a copy of the minutes in the PDF document that was forwarded to all of us. And I can't seem to be able to flight it because it is open. Let's see. Which one is this? Can you see? Oh, there it is. Okay. Thanks, Chair. Okay, Chair, this is the meeting of the 21st of February where we had the hearings or oral submissions from the stakeholders. And then the committee considered and adopted the consolidated report on the provincial hearings on the older persons bill. And the members who were present is you, Chair, Member Pilankulu, Member Hlongo, Member Manganyi, Member Stock, Member Peterson, Member Basango, Member Iris, Member Murray, Member van der Merwe. And we have apologies from Member Stukers and a standing apology from Member Abrahams. And then these are the department officials in present and us from the support staff, Chair. So it's going to pass through this one. And you have welcomed everyone in attendance when you opened the meeting. And the apologies were recorded by Mrs. Lindiwe, as I just alluded to. Then, Chairperson, we adopted the agenda. The move was made by Member Pilankulu, and her move was seconded by Member van der Merwe. So the agenda was adopted without changes. We had the minutes of the 8th of November that we had to adopt as a committee, and those minutes were adopted without amendments. And the move for adoption was done by Member Peterson, and she was seconded by Member Pilankulu. Then we had the minutes of the 29th of November for consideration and adoption. Member Peterson moved for the adoption of the minutes, and she was seconded by Member Masango. The minutes were adopted without amendments. Then we had the minutes of the 14th of February, tabled for consideration and adoption. Member Pilankulu moved for the adoption of the minutes, and she was seconded by Member Masango, and the minutes were adopted without amendments. Then we had a presentation I did on the report on provincial public hearings. It was a consolidated report of all the 9 provinces that we had visited for public hearings. Each province, there was a report drafted for each province, but then all of them were consolidated into one report, which I presented to the committee. Then the chairperson tabled the report for consideration and adoption. Member Manganyi commended Ms. Kanye for presenting a thorough report which reflected the issues that were raised, and so she moved for the adoption of the report as a true reflection of what transpired in the provinces, and her move was seconded by Member Pilankulu. Then that was the internal business, Chair. With regards to the oral submissions, we received presentations from 4 stakeholders: Ilitela Bantu, Professor Malhebe, Kosato, and Mr. Johan Randenier. And Chairperson, there will be a report that will be drafted on this particular part of the meeting, which I had already drafted, which will reflect the issues that emerged during the deliberations of the of the meeting that day, Chair. Then that report I'll also table here for the members to consider it and adopt it, Chair, when Mrs. Lindiwe has programmed it. Then the meeting adjourned at 12:30. Those are the minutes for the 21st of February, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Yoli. Honorable members, those were the minutes of the 21st of February. Can we interact with them? Raibo, bakhona abantu endlini? Are there people in the meeting?
Thank you. Yes. Chair, I think it's a true reflection of what is happening in the meeting.
Yes. Thank you very much, Honorable Aris.
I can see that also Honorable Stock has joined. We are happy to hear that he managed to join. And then Honorable Bridget.
Chairperson, I wanted to just move for the adoption, but now I'm seconding the movement, the moving for the adoption of the minutes of the 21st Thank of February you. As presented.
Thank you very much, Honorable Masango. Honorable Aris has adopted the minutes of the 21st and seconded by Honorable Masango. Then, thank you very much, Honorable members. The next item, Yuli.
We have concluded, Chairperson.
Okay, thank you very much, Yuli. Thanks ever so much, Honorable Members. It was so fast and quick, as I wish that it must be like that, so that Honorable Members have enough time to prepare for the next sitting, which starts at 3, but they will open up for the 3 o'clock at about 2. So, Honorable Members, the meeting is done for today. Then we will see and check the next meeting. And we hope that Lindy by that time would have been covered or recover in terms from the flu, in terms of that. Jerry, are you still with us?
Yes, I am still with you, Chairperson.
Okay, let's thank you for your time and also availability in terms of assisting the committee when Lindy is not well. Thanks ever so much, Jerry.
And thank you, Chairperson.
Let me also thank everyone in the meeting who managed to join. I know for a fact that the programs are very, very tight now. Each and every one of us has to quickly go and join other meetings. The meeting is adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. Close the meeting for all of us. You leave.